from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
There is some breaking news from our very own Doug McIntyre, FoxSports.com, around Greg Berhalter and the situation with him. U.S. Soccer said they were going to make an announcement, and this is it. Greg Berhalter will not continue as the U.S. men's national team coach, multiple sources tell Fox Soccer.
Woo! Yeah, baby! That's what I've been waiting for. That's what it's all about.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Wow, how unprofessional that reporter there. Imagine Ian Rappaport reports something and then just starts going, woo!
Oh, that wasn't the reporter.
I'm aware.
Oh, okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, Greg Berhalter is out. We had a good conversation about that a couple of days ago. Sal brought me back down to earth a little bit on... All right, maybe it's not Christmas morning for the U.S. soccer fans if he's fired. There's still definitely problems. But he was almost certainly one of them. So, all right, I'll take a little bit of a victory lap here. I was waiting a week for that news to come, and it did come yesterday. So, yeah, U.S. soccer is getting a new manager 2 years away from the World Cup. The Olympics are in the end of this month, although soccer usually is not like the biggest draw for that. But, yeah, Greg Berhalter. I've been if you've been annoyed by me coming on these airwaves and ramping and raving for a week about this, your nightmare is over because this is it. All right, he's fired. It happened. Joe DiBiase, Sal Capaccio, good morning. It is a very, very wet and rainy Thursday here, and yesterday was packed with severe weather all over the area. There were I saw confirmed tornadoes that were both in the south, like Eden, I think, was one of them. I'm forgetting where the other one was. Was it maybe North Collins, Josh?
Eden, North Collins got one, and then Forestville, I think, got
Forestville
the other.
Got yeah. the other one.
Around Forestville, Silver Creek area.
Okay.
So both very close to me, but thankfully no one I directly yeah. know had any. I'm sorry for anyone that had any issues. Like it.
I saw. Look yeah, great. there wasn't any like casualties or deaths or anything that I saw from the National Weather Service, but there was like I don't know, like Sal, if you saw the pictures, like someone's barn got destroyed. By one of
yeah,
the...
I read maybe some animals were injured, unfortunately, as well.
Oh, okay.
But no, I don't know about, you know, any... That's what I had read on social media yesterday. I know there were a lot of things happening very quickly. It was scary. So these...
Yeah.
Like, man, like, I didn't realize the damage until, like, it was kind of all said and done. And I went back and looked at some of the video and yeah. watched the news. really, really scary stuff. And thankfully, hopefully, it does sound like there were no human injuries or fatalities from what I'd read. I hope that's the case.
Yeah, I had seen a couple. There was one video of from like Dunkirk that looked like a tornado. I don't know if that one actually would have qualified, though. Maybe it would have. Social media got a, you know, head on a swivel a little bit. No, this was the one, yeah, in Arkwright that had it. There was tornado warnings throughout like the entire area. I never thought, you know, that I was going to, I guess, did you ever think about like, oh, we might get a tornado like right in the area? Because I didn't even think about it till like my watch lights up with, oh, tornado warning in all of Erie County. Like, oh, okay, this is actually like a real severe storm with, you know, wind that could, you know, destroy homes, right? I mean, that happened to a couple of people yesterday, and that's devastating if it happens to anybody. Yeah. I think we're very lucky to live in an area where that does not happen very often, right? Like, you had to deal with hurricanes in Florida. I can't imagine living in Oklahoma or Kansas or wherever where, like, right. It's like a monthly even occurrence, maybe at least a yearly occurrence where, oh yeah, there's just tornadoes like for like every other week.
It's like basically, I think, like, you know, hurricane season is pretty much in the summer and, you know, warmer weather months, late spring or spring into summer, and is tornado season in those areas. And right around probably beginning of April through most of summer, like, you just never know when there's these big storms in the Midwest. And they kick up these tornadoes, and some of them are just really, like you said, massive, and they happen in the middle of the night. You don't know. You don't have warning like you do for hurricanes necessarily, right? You're right about that. Now, as far as this area, we have had a few. You're right. We don't live in an area that gets them a lot, but they do happen sometimes. And I remember the one that hit in Cheektowaga in the late 80s, and that was a pretty newsworthy one that went right through onto Union Road. It started off, went like across Harlem Road into Cedar Grove Heights and across the thruway there into Union Road, did some damage. The Holiday Twin, what's it called? The Holiday Twin Showcase, Holiday Showcase Restaurant, I think it's called, was really damaged. That's located now where there's a car wash there on that side of Union Road when you drive down and you go south. That was damaged. And then there was another one in the same area, basically, maybe early 2000s. And then, Joe, we were playing in the Bills media golf outing maybe 5 years ago. Uh-huh. And this similar thing that happened yesterday happened where there was one that occurred kind of down where near where we were playing in Hamburg, actually, that day.
I remember the Hamburg one from a couple, 2017, I've got.
Yeah, here. Maybe right around then, yeah.
For that one? Listen, I know I said I like a little bit of wind for golf. I don't want that much wind.
No.
115 miles per hour was the peak of the one in Eden yesterday, I think I saw.
Wow.
I did not know, I learned something right now, but 1987 Cheektowaga tornado.
Yep.
It got to an EF2. Which I think that's probably very rare, because this article I'm reading from a couple years ago about that tornado is like listing tornado sense, and all the ones sense are F1s, which are the weakest of them.
I could tell you that day I was, so 87 you said? I don't
87,
remember the exact year.
87, yeah.
So I was 14 years old, and I could tell you my friend Sean Markowitz and I, who graduated from Cleveland Hill with me, we were playing wiffle ball in his backyard. And it was maybe early to later afternoon, somewhere around there. I don't remember the exact time. And suddenly the weather just kind of changed, right? Like, you were out, it was really warm, and like, wow, all of a sudden the temperature dropped, the weather started to change, there's the clouds started rolling in. And this is, you know, back then, it's 87. We're not on the internet checking the weather.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Nobody knows. You, 14.
You told me, speaking of me learning things, I learned the other day from you and Jonathan Koziel, maybe, when we were on the golf course or before we got out there, that there was a hotline you could call for weather.
Yes, there was. There was a hotline you could call for weather. People are listening going, oh, yeah, I remember that. So, you know, we're out there playing wiffle ball, and we don't know. You know, we're not dialed into what the weather's going to be for the next few hours. All of a sudden, the weather just changed. It got super dark, and it was really weird. And then we just started hearing sirens everywhere. And I'm like, what is going on here? So we hopped on our bikes, and we started riding around thinking, like, it was right down the street. Well, it wasn't far away. It was right right on the other side of the Kensington, the 33, because where he lived, we were playing wiffle ball. The tornado had hit in Cedar Grove Heights right behind there, and I had family that lived there, so we went over there, and I saw damage. It was crazy, and then all of a sudden, we see the video, and you can go down the YouTube rabbit hole of the 87 Cheektowaga tornado and see exactly what I mean about the Holiday Showcase restaurant and the damage that was caused. That's the biggest one I can remember ever in this area.
Yeah. I don't ever recall me being around one other than, like, right, like the Hamburg one from a couple of years ago and these ones from yesterday that we saw. I was obsessed with tornadoes as a kid. Obsessed with
because
them.
Of the movie Twister, probably.
Absolutely. Yes, exactly. I was getting to that.
Yes.
The movie Twister, Twisters. With, oh man, why am I forgetting the cast off the top of my head right now? I just Googled like the Twisters cast, and there's a new Twister movie that's coming out. Did you know this?
And yeah, they remade it. It's not even a Joe. It's not even a sequel.
They remade it. It's not like a movie from the 70s that they're remaking.
It came out weird.
The late 90s. Bill Paxton was the name I was looking for. Yeah.
And Helen Hunt.
Bill Paxton, Helen Hunt, and Philip Seymour Hoffman. What a movie.
Yes.
What a movie Twister
Great
was.
Great movie.
Loved that. Yeah, because of that movie, then I would like watch Weather Channel and Jim Cantore for a lot of my childhood. Severe weather was like very like whenever there were lightning storms, I'm like, cool. When the little graphic on the bottom of the Weather Channel would light up red instead of orange, I'm like, okay, here we go. We're gonna get some stuff here. Definitely not someone that's experienced tornadoes, you know, in person ever. Storm Chasers was another one, by the way. That was another good show as
well. By the way, there's people who are like it's I don't know if they like go to groups or anything, but there's a subset of people who are like addicted to the Weather Channel. Just watch it all the time. Like you can read about it. People talk
really?
About it. And yeah, seriously. There's forums dedicated to it. Like some people just say they just watch it all the time. They're just addicted to that particular TV channel because of this, you know, they're so mesmerized by the weather and everything that's happening and watching all these storms. It's true. Like there are I watch it a lot. I mean, I'm not in that boat, but it's a thing actually.
I can't remember the last time I actually put the Weather Channel on, but Weather Channel addiction, interesting. Okay. I mean, I would have watched it a lot as a kid, but there was there would have been times where I would have watched it like every minute of the day probably. So anyways, we're going to have another rainy day today. Looks like it'll clear up a little bit tomorrow. There's some stuff to get to from yesterday in sports. Nothing major, severe. There was a Malice at the Palace style event at the end of the Colombia-Uruguay game in Charlotte yesterday. So it was a big soccer day yesterday. But I watched rainy day. You know, like I've got some time. Like, all right, I'm just going to have a little bit of a do nothing day. So let me just make sure I want to watch this second Hard Knocks episode. Did you get around to watching the second Hard Knocks episode, by the way?
I haven't, but you can go ahead. I wanted to last night, got caught up, wasn't able to, but you know, go right ahead and let us know what you think. So I'm going to watch it today. We were going to watch it last night, just never got to.
Before I get into that, did you I think I know the answer, but did you have your Little League playoff game rained out?
We did, but here's what happened actually.
Okay.
The fields were probably good enough to play on.
Yeah.
They did a great job. But where we play at Shoshone Park, it's a city park. All city park events were shut down yesterday because of the storm. And I get it. It's a safety issue. There were tornado warnings. And we didn't realize that until later in the day. You know, everybody was working hard to get the fields ready.
Yep.
And then it's like, wait a minute. Like the city said, we can't play here anyway. So there was a bit of a, I think, you know, hey, what do we do here? And it was, well, you know, you can't do it. It was, and I get it. We're still under a tornado watch at, you know, whatever time. So, you know, even though it was in a different part of the, part of the county, you have to follow those rules. So I don't know. It still would have been a wet field. I think it was pretty close to being played. Maybe you had to lay a little bit, but we did not wind up playing and got it pushed back to Friday.
Till Friday. Okay. So not today not either, tonight. Which is going to be, I think today's supposed to be rainy like the whole day. Don't really quote me on that. I should put the Weather Channel on. That's what I should really do right now. Maybe I'll right. find out. So I did watch this episode. I'm not going to spoil the whole thing. There's really only one part that I kind of want to ask you about. Because this one, like, is this normal? Hasn't Hard Knocks recently on HBO, especially the training camp version, started to get a little more watered down? Like, there's less access than ever, right?
It's not just less access. It's the reason is because I think there's just a little bit more editorial control that and the team and the league have kind of taken some things out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very much enjoying this second episode. Was awesome. Like, so much Brian Daboll, so much Joe Shane. Brian Daboll is just to watch in these environments behind the scenes is like really fun to watch him arguing with his staff at the combine on whether or not he could beat Xavier Worthy in the 40 if he started 20 yards in front of Xavier Worthy, and his entire staff being like, no,
that Brian Daboll would have that conversation.
Exactly. Right. Like, and he's serious. Like, he's defiant. Like, no, I could beat him if you gave me a 20-yard head start. And his whole staff is like, no, you could not. You would need, like, a 30-yard, 35-yard head start. So there's some funny stuff in it like that. I'm just not used to watching Hard Knocks as much because I've watched it in and out. I don't think I've watched, like, the whole series, but I've watched at least a little bit of every season. I feel like this Giants Hard Knocks is giving crazy amounts of access. Like, they are, I guess I'm a little surprised. One conversation that I was a little surprised they had in there is Joe Shane, the GM of the Giants, mic'd up, and he's at the combine. By the way, it's very much like, you know, the way fantasy football trading can happen. You know, there are so many things in real football and running a team that are so, so, so different, I know. But the trade conversations, like, okay, that's kind of similar. Like, let me just walk down to my buddy just to talk to him real quick. Like, let's see if he'll move this. And one of the things they have in this episode is Joe Shane walking down from his suite in Indianapolis at the Combine. And he's like, I'm going to walk all the way down there to the New England suite. And they have that on mic, not on camera, but on mic, him having a trade discussion with Elliot Wolf, who was running the Patriots draft. I don't know what his title is. He's not officially the GM, right? Elliot Wolf?
I think he was named officially the GM as well as the president. I think that they actually went through that went through a process to kind of have a GM, and he got both titles, I think.
Gotcha. So Joe Shane is on mic talking to Elliot Wolf about trading up from 6 to 3 for a quarterback. And maybe that's not like, maybe I shouldn't be that surprised that that's in there. I guess I was thinking, like, are the Giants, how happy are the Giants that some of this stuff is in there? Because they have a quarterback that's being paid $40 million a year, and Daniel Jones could just very simply turn this TV show on and see broad as daylight, like, here's all these meetings they're doing with the rookie quarterbacks that are in there, and then there's your GM walking down to a different team's suite to try to trade up for one of them. And, like, I guess they're just not, there's no hiding from Daniel Jones, for instance, that, like, oh, yeah, your team was absolutely trying to replace you this offseason. Like, a couple of months ago. Your team was trying to replace you. It's right there in broad daylight. And I don't know, should I be surprised that that's all in there? Or that maybe the Giants wouldn't be happy that that's all in there?
I did not watch it, but I thought the same thing when I saw people posting about it. And I haven't even watched it, and I thought, really, are they? Do they really have a conversation that, like, they're going to show that they're actively trying to draft over Daniel Jones? Like, that's the thing that came to my mind. Now, I guess the way you could spin it is, because did the Giants actually say in this? You tell me. I didn't watch it yet. Did they say it was for Daniel Jones? I mean, you'd think it would be, but did they say it was?
For a quarterback, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, for a quarterback. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
For Drake May, it would have been most likely, but by the way.
Yeah, I don't know if it was specifically said by Joe Shane that it would have been for a quarterback. Like, I don't think that he would have said the words. I feel like the conversations lead you to, okay, that's what they're talking about. But, yeah, I don't think the words actually come out of his mouth for a quarterback.
I guess that's the way you could spin it if you're the Giants, if you don't want to commit to, yeah, we were trying to do it to move on from Daniel Jones. Like, hey, we just wanted options. We wanted to get to 3. We knew there would be great players there. We got the guy we wanted anyway. Malik Nabers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you could do that, or Marvin Harrison Jr. Maybe they were thinking, hey, we really like Marvin Harrison Jr. Or they don't have to say that. But because where was Harrison was taken? What? Where was Harrison taken?
He was taken fourth? At four. Yeah. So they could have.
So they could make a reasonable argument. They were not trying to trade up for a quarterback.
Right.
Because they took a wide receiver and one actually went before the one they took.
Yeah, that could be right. I'm watching it back with the subtitles right now and reading through it real quick. And yeah, they could defend it that way.
Because Joe, think about the first episode.
Yeah.
What did Joe Shane say? We're going to surround Daniel Jones. We have to find out if he's the guy. We're paying him $40 million,
yep.
Not to hand off. We're going to find out if he's the guy. We got to surround him with offensive talent. So I agree with you. Like, almost any person watching would think, oh yeah, you don't make a move like that unless you want a quarterback, unless you want Drake May. But the Giants could easily defend this by saying, that's not necessarily what we were doing. We're trying to get ourselves into a position that we could take the best player available because we're trying to help our quarterback here become the best he can be, and that could have been the number one wide receiver on the board.
Right, and they do show, after they show their combine meetings with the quarterbacks, and Dable, like on the spot, like, here's a play, read it back to me. And they're showing a bunch of stuff like that with Jayden Daniels. Jayden Daniels made, I was very much like, I don't know, checking into like, ooh, I'm a scout at the back of the room mode where I'm watching the Drake May back and forth with Dable, and May is just hitting everything perfectly. I'm like, okay, that guy's got it. And then Jayden Daniels comes up and he gets most of it, but he has one mistake that he has in reading the play call back to Brian Dable, and then Dable starts asking him about his family, and as Daniels, again, I'm not going to try to spoil the whole thing, but as Daniels is talking about his family, Dable goes, time out, read that play back to me that I just told you 3 minutes ago. And Daniels reads it back, and he makes the same mistake a second time, and even I had a reaction, like, oh no, dude, like, you can't make the same mistake twice. I really enjoyed the Combine episode a lot that you're going to watch. Let me ask about the Giants, because after watching this, like, I'm finding myself like, man, I really want it to work. I want it to work for Dable. I want it to work. Joe Shane is very easy to like in this, and he's not someone that I would have had a personal experience with before, seeing him in this show. I know you would have, covering the team day to day. How likely is it to work though? Like, where they're at? Like, what should they be doing? Where are they in their timeline? Because I kind of want them, if I were a Giants fan, I feel like I would want them to already be thinking about moving on from Jones. And again, maybe the trade-up was for a quarterback, and maybe they already have that thought. I don't know. I just think Jones, as long as he's their quarterback, it's kind of like Tua for me a little bit. Like, I just don't know what your ceiling is as an offense, because I think that's a very limited quarterback that can hold you back in many ways. But this is also year three, so you know how the NFL goes. I mean, if you get into a fourth year and you've had two bad years in a row, like, not everybody survives that. I don't know if this would be different, though.
I had Paul Dottino on last week, 2 weeks ago, maybe. Paul he's a Giants reporter.
He did play-by-play for us a couple years ago.
He did play-by-play for us for a game a few years ago when Murph couldn't make it. He had COVID that day. And I asked Paul. I was really kind of surprised. Now, I'll also say Paul does a show for the Giants at, their website. So, I don't know how much he wants to, how far he wants to go with this. But I did ask him how hot the seat is. And he completely dismissed any notion of Brian Dable being on the hot seat. Like, it's not at all. And he said the amount of injuries they had last year, especially up front, after making the playoffs and then having that happen to them, like, they're going to get another year regardless, no matter what happens this year. That seems, tough for me if it's an outsider to think that. Because you're playing in New York. It's the New York Giants. It's the New York media market. They were so disappointing last year. And I just, because of where they are this year with two parts of this, you ask, how likely is it to work? I don't think it is because, A, even if you get Jones back, He's got to be healthy enough to make that jump. And Joe, they still have some issues on their offensive line. They've tried to help out. They've tried to give him some weapons. Yep. They don't have Saquon anymore. They did bring in Devin Singletary, but I don't know. I just don't think they're good enough. I just don't see it becoming, and they're in the division with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys and a Washington team that who knows what they're going to be, right? So I just think it's going to be really tough. And if they miss the playoffs, if they have a six-win season, yeah, maybe you'd keep them around for one more year. I do think Joe Shane stays no matter what, because he'll probably have another chance at least. Most GMs get a second chance to hire a coach
and get
his own quarterback. This is not even his quarterback, Daniel Jones, right? So, but I would think that the seat would be pretty warm at least on Brian Daboll. I mean, the way they lost games last year too, like they were not even competitive in a lot of them.
No, right. They, remember, it was the opener. Wasn't it the opener that they got blown out like 40-0 in the pouring rain?
Yeah. They almost beat the Bills. but they almost beat the Bills. They were not even competitive in some games. And like I said, Paul dismissed it. He said, no way. Like, there's no hot seat at all. It just, from an outside observer, I find that tough.
All that means to me is, or all that could mean to me, is if the seat's not hot right now, then okay, he's not a really bad start away from getting fired. You know, if they start 1-4, then like an in-season move. Maybe what that could mean is the seat's not hot right now, but man, as the season goes on, and if they're having a 6-win season, then maybe the noise will grow more and more. Like, okay, this is it. Like, they might not do it in the season, but after the season, like you might have to expect a change at head coach. I think that's probably right, that Shane would stay. And I feel like he has got, you know, the right prerogative for that job. So I think they'd probably be making a mistake if they moved on from him. I kind of think they'd be making a mistake if they moved on from Daboll too, but New York market, and you have a second straight season like that. Like, what do you expect? You expect them to move on. So
you know what else might matter in New York?
Yeah.
And I know it shouldn't, or maybe you say it should. I don't know. What if the Jets are good and they're not? That also could factor in. Like, you have the Jets trumping you.
You get passed by the team in your own building.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's had a 13-year playoff drought.
Right. You know what? Like, I think that actually might factor a little bit. Right? Like, these owners are competitive. And I'm sure the same team that plays in your own stadium, own market, you know, how competitive you'd want to be. And you've been above that team, that franchise, forever? When's the last time the Jets were really above the Giants? I guess when they went to...
Late 90s, maybe.
Okay, because I was going to say, even when they went to AFC Championship games with Mark Sanchez, like, the Giants were still winning Super Bowls then with Eli. So, late 90s. The Giants were good in the late 90s?
The Jets weren't even great then, but the Jets were at least better.
Okay. The Giants weren't good in the late 90s?
Well, I mean, they were good, bad enough to draft Eli in the early 2000s. What do they do in the late 90s? I have to go back and look at right. Let me look at the history there on the. But I'm pretty sure if I remember the Jets.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking even Vinny Testaverde time period for the Jets. You know.
Okay, with Parcells maybe for a little bit.
Okay,
there.
Here we go. So Giants late 90s. Yeah. So 94, 90, mid 90s, they'd one double digit win season from 94 through 99.
Oh, wow.
Nine wins, five wins, six wins, 10, 8-7.
Yeah. All right, so that would have been the last time. So, yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. I feel like it would a little bit. That team that's a joke on the other side of your field passes you. It might not be a different result, though, because like you said.
By the way, the Jets weren't great either, but they did win 9 in 97 and 12 in 98. That's right around the time period I'm thinking.
12 in 98.
I'm thinking of 98, Testaverde. They go to the AFC title game that year in 98. That's Parcells coaching them. Like, to me, that's the last time I remember them really kind of being better there.
Yeah, not to get too off subject, because we got to take a break, and I got a Bills question for you when we come back. How long was Testaverde there? Because I feel like I remember him as a kid being the Jets quarterback. Was he there for... I could look this up myself.
He was there for a little bit, for probably longer than you think, but he had a year. I think he was hurt, and he couldn't play. Let me see here.
He was there from 98 to 2003. So,
He played one game in 99.
Okay, there might have been injury there. So, six seasons worth, and... Yep. He started seven games at 40 in 2003. Like that 2002, 2003, I probably remember him playing a couple of games against the Bills.
Vinny Testaverde played until he was 44 years old in the NFL. He started games in his 44-year-old season.
I think he had... No, maybe he didn't have the record, but he would have been on like the lists of oldest starting quarterbacks when Brady would have passed.
Yes.
Him and like George Blanda maybe comes to mind for this.
Yes.
Yeah, Testaverde, he started against the Bills. They beat the Bills in 2003 when he was 40 years old. 30-3 Jets over the Bills. That probably wasn't a very fun memory.
What year was that?
2003. 30-3 Jets over the Bills with a 40-year-old Vinny Testaverde. That's a bad Bills team, though, 2003.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. 803-0550 is the phone number. I got a Bills question that I want to throw past Sal and listeners as well that I'd be interested to hear them call in on. Of course, no surprise, it pertains to the Bills at wide receiver. We'll get to that when we come back. We're less than 2 weeks away from training camp. 2 weeks from yesterday is Bills training camp, and we're under 1 month away from the preseason. So we don't need to hurry you too much because it's the summer, and everyone loves the summer when it's not raining like it is right now. But football is getting closer and closer. Can you feel it? 2 weeks away, less than 2 weeks away, and the Bills will be on the field with helmets. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy off till training camp. Sal Capaccio is in today. Nate will be in tomorrow, by the way, but Sal's in today. And we've got coming up a little bit later on in today's show, we're going to talk with Marty Schimmel about the Porter Cup at the 9 o'clock. We'll talk, oh, before that, I skipped right past. We're going to talk with a Colts guest coming up at 8, Alexa Ross. We're going to talk with on another team in the Bills' schedule and also Caitlin Clark. And coincidentally, we booked her for this morning, and then Caitlin Clark had a monster game last night. And there was a scandal in the WNBA last night that we can get to as well. A little bit of a scandal. Wyatt Russell also, speaking of movies, we talked Twister earlier. Wyatt Russell, actor and son of Kurt Russell, there's a local connection there. And he's in town, so we're going to talk with him coming up at 9:30. Big movie week. We had Nick Bakay on, Chopin the Bulldog earlier in the week. We're gonna have Wyatt Russell on. I want to ask him about Miracle. I know that's his dad's movie, but I want to ask him about Miracle and that experience. Time out here. When we come back, I got a Bills question for Sal on wide receiver. Stay tuned. This is WGR.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Ollie Watkins here.
England on to the Euro final. That'll be Sunday at 1 o'clock against Spain. England, who I've called the Toronto Maple Leafs of the international soccer world because they are loud and they are talented and they probably always feel like they should win everything. And they haven't won since 1966. I think the Leafs is 1967. So even that's like almost exactly the same. Yeah, they've not won a major tournament since 66. That includes the World Cup, the Euro. Like they've not won anything. So we'll see. Maybe Sunday they could break that curse. That was a 90th minute winner yesterday in that game. So there was some good soccer yesterday until the Uruguay players started climbing into the crowd, going after Colombia fans. Until that happened, it was a good day of soccer. And then it ended in a very, very bad way. 803-0550 is the phone number. So football going on. Football, though, is coming up. And we've got 13 days until Bills training camp. Are the Hall of Fame game teams going to go first? Like, when does Bears training camp start? Probably before that. Would that be normal that they would start before other teams?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
They did. There is a the CBA changed, but it still is a little bit earlier.
Yeah, July 19th. So 5 days before at least the Bills. The Bears will be at camp first, so we'll get some storylines, see some Caleb Williams highlights, I'm sure, along the way as well. Sal.
July 19th. That's, 8 days from today. It's crazy.
8 days from today. Who is going to lead the Bills wide receivers and catches? Not just receivers. I think a lot of us would probably say Kincaid for that. If I asked you to rank their wide receivers for catches this year, who would you put number one? And really, also the reason I ask is, couldn't you put three different options as number one?
Yes, it's really funny you asked me this. So today, be on the lookout for It's Always Game Day in Buffalo because I ask Matt Bove the exact same question, but I ask him targets, not catches.
Targets, okay.
And it's just wide receivers because when you ask this, and the reason why I say it this way, I know why you say it that way, Joe, because we don't want to count Dalton Kincaid, right? Because you say wide receivers specifically.
Right.
And that's what we did on It's Always Game Day. We preview wide receivers and tight ends, and I ask Matt, who's going to lead the wide receivers in targets?
Right.
Not counting tight end. And we go through that. And by the way, you can check that out. It's going to drop here in a little while. I'm actually going to post it over my YouTube page for today. So I didn't answer the question on the show. I asked Matt, and he answered. So I'll answer you here, which fits.
Okay.
I think it's Curtis Samuel.
Okay.
I of course you could put three different guys there. I agree with you. I think Curtis Samuel's in the best position to still have the most catches on this team when it's all said and done. He's going to play in pretty much every situation and scenario. I can't say that about Keon Coleman as a rookie coming in, and I can't say that necessarily about Khalil Shakir because of where he plays on the field. As much as he'll be on the field a lot, I do think that's he's probably more of a slot guy. If he wants to play outside, now he's sharing time with Coleman. If he's going to play inside, he's sharing time with Kincaid, and when they split out James Cook, so and other guys that could be in there as well. So I just think that the circumstantial evidence would lead you to Curtis Samuel.
Right. That is where I have been at. I have liked Samuel as a player for a while. I know that a lot of the film guys really like Samuel. Matt Harmon is top of the list for that as someone that would undoubtedly and has defended Samuel as a player that is better than his production. And with Samuel, like another thing you could always point to here on, you know, like what's his career high in catches? Career high in catches is 77. By the way, you think that number would do it? You think 77 would lead their wide receivers in catches?
I think that'd be a disappointing number.
Yeah. If Kincaid got you to like 90, 100, well, no, more than that, right? Because someone's getting 100, aren't they? They're going to throw it enough. Allen is good enough. Someone's getting 100, right?
I don't know about that. The way that they're structuring their room, I think you got to be somewhere between, I don't know about 100, maybe 90.
Okay.
Could be the high water mark, right? Yeah. Somewhere in there. I don't know if you, because I think the whole purpose of what they're doing, Joe, is to maybe go away from having to rely on someone having 100 catches.
Right. I'm just wondering if someone, I think that that's right, but if somebody shows up and is just playing above what they thought they were going to get, and that could be Kincaid, that could be Coleman, but you wouldn't think he'd do that as a rookie. I think that could really be Samuel. And the name I keep thinking of for him is, not that this is the type of player, but John Brown was someone that I feel like when he showed up to the Bills, what is that, 5 years ago now, it was, all right, here's a guy who's had 1,000 yards in the league, but he's never been amazing. But there are these skills here, and there's this history with quarterbacks all over the place where you might think there's more to be had here with the right quarterback and the right system, and that's how that played out. He had his best season as a pro with Josh Allen. And I feel like I'm kind of expecting the same from Samuel, that he'll have his best season as a pro because there were other circumstances why he didn't have as big of seasons in other places. But now, I mean, he's got Allen. Before, he had Bridgewater, and he had Sam Howell, and he had an old, broken Cam Newton in Carolina. Like, if you look, Kyle Allen. I think Kyle Allen is the quarterback that's thrown him the most touchdowns. Or is it just targets? Whatever it is. Kyle Allen is his, like, most, you know, productive quarterback in his career, just by the volume. So I'm thinking,
and that
Samuel
was, by the way, with who as an offensive coordinator?
And that would have been that year would have been Joe Brady, I think, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
That's right.
So
actually, hold on. I'm sorry. So 2000. Actually, he had more targets. Here's what's wild. You look at it. Are you looking? You have his stats pulled up. His stats.
Who, Samuel?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do for Samuel. Yep.
He actually has eight more. He had eight more targets in 2019, but far less catches. Holy cow.
Yeah.
He had 54 for 105 targets, 54 catches for 105 targets. The following year, 77 on 97 targets. What a drastic difference there. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that by the way, that's the change there, right? Brady gets there, yeah. Joe Brady gets there in 2020. So, I mean, look how much the efficiency goes up. You know, yards per target from his second to last year in Carolina, 6 yards per target. The 1 year that Samuel spent with Joe Brady, 8.8 yards per target, which was the highest of his career. So he was never more efficient than he was that year. And that's also the year, if you've still got his stats open, that's the year he had the most carries in his career. 41
yeah,
that
his
year.
Catch rate went from 51 to 80%, essentially.
So
From that year, 1 year. And by the way, just to put a bow on that, so Allen was 2019. Kyle Allen was 2019. He was better the next year with Bridgewater in 2020.
I see. So Bridgewater would have been the quarterback when Brady was there? Okay.
Correct.
And you look at that. Like, look at that. 41 carries, 97 targets. They went to Curtis Samuel, that offense did, in Carolina, 138 times that they went to him when Joe Brady was the coordinator. Like,
that's crazy.
That's almost a Diggs level size workload. Not almost. And the efficiency wasn't quite the same because we're talking 1,000 yards and, what is it, 5 total touchdowns versus Diggs, who, you know, he would get 1,500 at his best. But I agree with you. I think it's Samuel. I, though, am very curious if it could be Shakir. Like, I'm not really thinking about it being Coleman. I'm a little sour on Coleman as a prospect. I'm open now more than ever to him really performing, but still, my starting point was pretty low. So I'm trying to work my way up a little bit, but I'm still just not thinking Coleman, especially as a rookie, is going to be someone that's going to go out there and get 90 catches for this team, 80 catches for this team, not right away. I'm wondering though about Beasley or about not Beasley, Shakir. You can hear I was already ready to kind of compare the two. Because Beasley was someone that had 80 catches in this offense more than once. And Shakir, in the similar position, he's playing in the slot, you know, the same types of throws. But you might also think, and this is yards, not catches, but if there's more of a yards per catch player, yards after catch player there, that we saw flashes of last season, I feel like I don't have a good grasp on how good Shakir could be. Because he is playing a role that we've seen lots of production from a Cole Beasley, but then he's got that extra burst with the ball that I wonder if he could be at least that good. But I don't know, because we've only seen it really for half a season with him.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about Samuel here a little bit as well, which is I'm looking through what happened in 19 and 20. So okay. In 19, he has...
His two biggest seasons by targets, those two seasons.
He has a lot of targets, but they don't have a lot of catches. But you know who's on that staff in 19, okay, is Scott Turner. Scott Turner's Norv Turner's son. Scott Turner actually then, he's the offensive coordinator, okay?
Yeah.
He actually becomes then an OC in Washington a few years later, and guess what happens? 38 carries that year for Curtis Samuel. Here's my point. The coaches who've been around Curtis Samuel, who have known his game, have given him the ball as a runner. It's not just a receiver. Scott Turner was with him twice, and the second time around, he handed it to him 38 times. Joe Brady handed it to him 41 times in 2020. I'm expecting him to have carries this year in Buffalo, right? I mean, I don't know if it's going to be 41 or 38. What's the over-under on carries for right now for you for Curtis Samuel in this offense?
Rushes. I might put it a little lower than you would. I wouldn't put it like all the way low. Like he had 7 last year. Like I think he's going to be higher than that. I might put it somewhere in the 20s. Here's why.
Yeah, that's probably fair. 25 maybe, somewhere
25.
In there.
25. I bet they want to use him that way. I wonder, though, if it's dependent on the other weapons. And what I mean by that is, if Coleman looks good and Shakir is what he was at the end of last year and Kincaid takes a big step forward, then the offense is probably working. And you probably have what you wanted, which is the ability to spread it around, get a lot of people involved, and have them be productive. If, though, the opposite happens, or there's more, you know, Coleman looks raw, and maybe he's not even out there all the time because he's having some difficulties. So there's more Mac Hollins out there, or there's more Valdez-Scantling. And, you know, Shakir with more attention isn't as efficient as he was last year. That, by the way, is going to happen. He was the most efficient receiver in football, like weeks 10 on. So he's not going to be that efficient. So there'll be some regression there. But maybe it's more than they think. And maybe Kincaid is good, but he's not taking as big a step. Whatever it is. I wonder if the other players aren't performing, if they feel like they can afford to give Samuel touches. It depends how reliant they are on him. If it comes to pass that, man, he's got to perform, like he's their guy, and he is producing the most, and the rest of it doesn't look as good as you thought, but Samuel's producing, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to want to give him 40, 50 carries, you know, 5 carries a week, because you got to keep him healthy. And running him, you know, through defensive lines, or even, and it would be around the edge, and giving him all these hits that, you know, Deebo Samuel has complained about in the past in San Francisco, I feel like they'd want to shy away from that, but only if they're really reliant on him, which I doubt they want to be. They want him to be productive, but they're not going to want him to be, you know, as necessary as I'm kind of laying out here. So I think it's dependent on the rest of the guys more than it is even Samuel. 803.
Did you say Shakir was the most efficient wide receiver over the last 10 weeks? Is that who you talking about?
There were a couple different, like week one, once Joe Brady was the coordinator, he was the most efficient receiver in football. Yeah.
The first week, that week, would it be that week? No, because he was fired. Anyway, starting with the Tampa night game, 6 catches, 92 yards. And then, you know, he didn't have the best games necessarily. Like, there was one for 24. But yeah, he I'm looking at his game logs now, Shakir. Like, he was very heavily involved.
Yeah, we got to take a timeout here. We got more on this coming up. Actually, Josh put a poll up. I'd be very interested to see how that shakes out, where people lie, where they'd want to place their bets for the Bills at wide receiver. Yeah, Shakir, I'll find it. I'll have the stat for you when we come back. Stat of the day on Shakir, and what I'm trying to figure out which number it was, but one of them, he is the most efficient receiver last year. That's coming up. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio. This is WGR. All right, I've hunted down that stat for you exactly. So this was, we're talking Bills receivers, who's going to lead them? Shakir, Samuel, we got a poll up on this, by the way. I think the results are very interesting so far. At WGR550, if you want to vote on that. Josh put it up. Samuel, Coleman, Shakir, the field are the four options. once Joe Brady took over as offensive coordinator, so this is week 11 on last season, out of the 129 receivers that qualified, so 10 targets or more in that time span, out of the 129 receivers, Khalil Shakir was number one in yards per target, 15.1. 363 yards on 24 targets. The guys behind him, A.T. Perry, Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, George Pickens, Nico Collins are the guys that are immediately behind him. A little interesting, by the way, if you want. Diggs was one of the least efficient. Out of 129, he was 109, 5.4. So Shakir was number one. That's going to, he's not going to be 15 yards per target. So there'll be at least a little regression. Just hopefully not too much. Time out here. Let you know why I'm surprised by the results of that poll. That's when we come back. Joe DiBiase, Sal Capaccio. Alexa Ross coming up at 8. We'll talk on the Colts with her coming up then here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, I've hunted down that stat for you exactly. So this was, we're talking Bills receivers. Who's going to lead them? Shakir, Samuel. We got a poll up on this, by the way. I think the results are very interesting so far. At WGR550, if you want to vote on that. Josh put it up. Samuel, Coleman, Shakir, the field are the four options. Once Joe Brady took over as offensive coordinator, so this is week 11 on last season, out of the 129 receivers that qualified, so 10 targets or more, in that time span, out of the 129 receivers, Khalil Shakir was number one in yards per target. 15.1. 363 yards on 24 targets. The guys behind him, A.T. Perry, Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, George Pickens, Nico Collins are the guys that are immediately behind him. A little interesting, by the way, if you want. Diggs was one of the least efficient. Out of 129, he was 109. 5.4. So Shakir was number one. That's going to, he's not going to be 15 yards per target. So there'll be at least a little regression. Just hopefully not too much. Time out here. let you know why I'm surprised by the results of that poll. That's when we come back. Joe DiBiase, Sal Capaccio, Alexa Ross coming up at 8. We'll talk on the Colts with her coming up then here on WGR.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.